Good morning. If you're like our family, school just started. A new school year just began. Typically runs, what, September to June? Did you know that the church year runs on approximately the same pattern? It starts September 1st, which is the day after tomorrow, right, Tuesday, and runs through the end of August, the 31st, which will be tomorrow. So from a church perspective, our church year is about to end. As Father Seraphim mentioned in his points, there are two very important feasts that both bookend the beginning and the end of this church year. The one that we just celebrated with regard to the Theotokos was the 15th, her dormition, her falling asleep. And on September the 8th, we will commemorate her nativity, her birth. So the church year begins with her birth, and it ends, if you will, with her death, right? It's very nice. The Theotokos, our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, our Holy Lady, Mary, she goes by many names, or we use many names for her. Her life is the life of the church. Her life is the life of the church, and her life is to be our life if we but follow her example. Her example. Let's talk about Christ and Mary. What's the relationship there, and how do we understand both of them? Let's go back also to the 5th century, when the patriarch of Constantinople, a man by the name of Nestorius, some of you who are historically minded will know this name. He was the patriarch, right? In Orthodoxy, nobody is perfect. Nobody is beyond reproach. Even patriarchs make mistakes. And Nestorius made a mistake. Now, he invited a priest called Proclus to come and give a sermon. And Proclus spoke about the Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary. And he spoke of her in very glowing terms. He referred to her as the temple of God. He called her the temple of God. Now, to Patriarch Nestorius, this was a step too far. Christ was the temple of God to Nestorius. Christ, not Mary. So, the fight was on. The disagreement began. It was there. Who was the temple of God? How do we understand Jesus Christ, and how do we understand the role of the Virgin Mary? And this is critical for us today, even in 21st century North America. All right? Here's essentially how Orthodoxy, in its beauty and wisdom inspired by the Holy Spirit, decided the issue. Christ is fully God and fully man. One person, two natures come together, right? Christ is our Savior. Mary is our role model. Christ is our Savior. Christ is God. Christ is God become incarnate. Christ who taught us. Christ who hung on the cross. Christ who died and went to Hades. Christ who, while he was in Hades, exploded the gates and bars. He defeated death. He defeated Satan from within, as only God could do. A human being could not defeat death, no matter how perfectly moral, obedient, righteous they were. Only God could defeat death. And that is what Christ did. Now, what did Mary do? Oh, my goodness, what did Mary do? Oh, Mary is our role model in the perfect cooperation of the human will with the divine will. I'll say that again. She's our role model in the perfect cooperation of the human with the divine. Let me think about it. You've got a 14-year-old young woman. An angel has approached her and said, "You're going to have a child." And not just any child, but God's child. What did she do? Did she balk? Did she complain? Did she fuss? No. She asked a very reasonable question. You know, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I don't know. Man, what are you talking about? And the angel said, "Don't worry about it. God will take care of it." And what was her lovely response? What should be our response? She pre-quoted the Lord's Prayer. She said, "Let it be according to thy word." And what did Christ teach some 28 years later? "Thy will be done." She pre-quoted it. She was already there. Christ and the Holy Spirit were already operating in her heart because she was obedient and cooperative. Did Adam and Eve cooperate in the Garden of Eden? No. They didn't follow God. They wanted to lead. They wanted to be in charge. Why else do you eat from the apple or fruit of knowledge? The only reason we want knowledge is to be in charge, is to do something. And that's fine. God gives us knowledge. But we are to follow Him. We are not good followers. Human beings think we are in charge. We think we can do it all. And God did create us to be like Him in His image and likeness, to do things and to have authority. But we get ahead of ourselves and we put God in the rearview mirror and we forget about Him. Our Blessed Mother said, "Thy will be done, not mine." And let's take that forward a few years. So she has a child. Do you think she wanted to leave her homeland in Israel, in the Holy Land, and go to Egypt? Do you think she really wanted to do that, leave her friends and family? No. But like Abraham before her, she did it. Now, God worked through Joseph to make sure that, hey, honey, this is what we really need to do, because if we don't, Herod's going to find us, right? But she didn't want to leave. I'm sure she didn't. Who would have? But she did. They're down there in Egypt for, 15 years. Do you think she probably wanted to come back then? Probably not. If she's like the rest of us, she gets settled, right? But she did. She came back. Do you think she wanted her son to basically become a monastic? Does anybody have any children that have become monastics? Do you know what this means? They essentially go off to the monastery. You don't hear from them, if at all. They don't get married. They don't have children. You're not going to see grandchildren. You're not going to see them at the holidays. It's very much a sacrificing of your child to the church if they decide to enter a monastery or an abbess. So it's a sacrifice. And Christ, although He didn't go into a monastery, He didn't get married. He didn't get married, and she knew at some point that that wasn't in the cards. Do you think any mother would want to see her son hang on that cross? No, of course not. In many ways, she was the first Christian martyr. Not that she herself died, but Holy Scripture says, "And a sword will pierce your heart." Don't you think a sword pierced her heart as she looked on that cross? The mother died just as much with the son as he hung on that cross. She was the first Christian, not Christ. Christ, how could Christ be a Christian? He is Christ. To be a Christian, you can't be Christ. You have to be other than Christ. Mary was the first Christian. She was the first one who professed the faith. She's the first one who prayed the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." That's why we honor the Virgin Mary. And we seek her intercessory prayer. Who is closer to Jesus Christ than the one with whom the Holy Spirit was so intimate that the spiritual fruit produced the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God? There is no one closer to the Virgin Mary, to Christ, than the Virgin Mary, except maybe God the Father and the Holy Spirit. No one, no saint is higher. Now Mary, fully human, fully cooperative, was the perfect, pure Christian person. But there's a limit to what even that kind of person could do. She could not defeat death. She could not go into Hades and burst the bars. Only God can do that. And God did that. That's the difference. Christ is our Savior. Mary is our role model. We must look to her. We must ask for her intercessions. We must follow her lead as she followed Christ's lead. Right? We follow God. And that's what she did. So think about that. Think about that as you go forward this week and as we begin the new church year, because Mary's life is a model for us. And her life can be our life if we're willing to cooperate with God and follow His will, just like she did. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.